good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January 11th, the 11th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is our supervisor for 11 months, Jimmy Smith.
How come when it's 1-to-1, I'm still outnumbered? That's the quote for the day.
Oh, there are so many cheap comments that immediately leap to mind on that one that I'll be nice, I'll be semi-professional, and let her go to a break. This after we got a couple of different things to talk to Jimmy about. Last week, he was in a spirited meeting with the Lolita Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk about some of the things that are going on in Lolita, or that people want to have go on. And, yeah, well, it's probably a pretty good example of general plan and zoning ordinances and things of that nature. So we'll talk about that. He wants to talk about marijuana. What a guy. Novel topic around here. Medicinal marijuana and all forms of it. We'll also talk to some of the economic activities that are going on. Jimmy wants to engage on that one. And who knows what else may pop up when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time is 419. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith, but before we do, our quote this afternoon is an Ethiopian proverb. I know your depth in Ethiopian proverbs is very deep.
I liked my quote.
I understand. Here's even a better one, a more powerful one. You ready? When spiders unite, they can tie down a lion.
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that cool?
That's teamwork.
Yeah.
That is teamwork. I believe in that.
That's almost as exciting and visual as your captain reference.
Yes, but I do. I absolutely understand that on the ship there's only one captain.
Aaron.
Who also could be the anchor.
Yeah, yeah. And the captain could also be a spider tying down the lion, too.
That's correct.
See, we can just blend this stuff all over the place.
We could. We did that one time.
I know. It was really one of the low points of the show's 30-plus years.
I think it was. And in the end, you got a little crabby.
Yeah, imagine that. Okay, you bring it up. Crab season status. What are you hearing out there? I heard something that's the 16th was going to be the magical day.
Yeah.
But we're seeing crab in the stores, so we know it's in the neighborhoods. It just still isn't filled in our zone yet.
The projections were that it was not going to make it by the 1st. So by law, the 15th, it opens regardless of testing. So it eliminates the need to test again, which is sort of costly. And, you know, you have to go through all the processing, which costs a fair amount of money, too. So the 15th was the end of the period, 15th of January, the end of the oversight period for trying to make sure that you had a product that was going to be ready and available to the public. So beyond that point, there is no rule of law on content of meat for the product.
So the 16th is the last official day that the season could open in a restricted zone.
Yeah. The 15th is it's the end of the period, the management period for trying to make sure that you've got a product that's ready for market.
Do you think the crab will be filled out?
I will tell you that we went last weekend, my neighbor and I, we went into the bay, and I think this is sort of representative of what I'm hearing from other folks. And we got a nice limited Dungeness, beautiful crabs. And out of my crabs, I checked them over carefully after they were cleaned and ready to consume.
After killing them, yeah.
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 And 7 of the 10 were in beautiful shape, and 3 were still light.
So by light, the shell isn't filled out with meat?
Correct.
When you open up?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So what is the magic number? If 7 out of 10... Should it be 10 out of 10? Should it be 5 out of 10? When they do their studies, what are those parameters?
They do it based on a percentage of the meat content, based on recovery. So if you've got a 2-pound crab, they want to see 25% recovery. So you'll want to see the meat reach, or the meat content of the crab reach that certain level. And they've got the protocols that were set up were very difficult. We did that years ago when I was still engaged with the industry, and a number of people on the board of directors of the marketing association helped carry it forward, and I was lucky enough to work with that team. It allowed them over a period of time to collect enough data on meat content to be able to reasonably project how much growth occurs over a period of time in these two-week increments. So they can do the test, they can project based on that, retest 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, and then project again and come up with numbers that are fairly accurate. This time, they were far and away some of the lightest we've seen in many years. So their projections were that it wasn't likely they were going to be ready till sometime in January. And then the 15th of January, that whole projection and management measure ends. So the season will open regardless of the content. But it should be very good by the 15th of the month.
And the reason the other zones north and south of us are open is because the feeding is more plentiful, or the numbers of crabs are less?
There's all sorts of different theories about why.
Let's use experienced intuition.
Usually, in years of high abundance in certain areas, and it will be specific to the area. Remember, we had really great seasons here over a lot of periods of years, and San Francisco did not, as an example. And then last year, San Francisco had a huge abundance, a record abundance, and Northern California was so-so. It was okay, but it wasn't the high densities that we had experienced in previous years when we saw soft crabs. And so the theory with fishermen has always been, you know, if you have a warm water event, you're going to see less crabs. They're not going to be quite as healthy. If you have good upwellings and you have good recruitment of the megalops, the little guys, and onshore currents where they can drop off and use the estuaries, these estuaries that we have are hugely productive. Eel River and
really the sloughs,
Humboldt Bay.
Rivers.
Yeah,
oh, really?
The slough right here in your backyard is one of the. It's a huge nursery for Dungeness crab.
But you don't go fishing for crab in the slough.
No, but it's a nursery, so they grow, mature, and then move to the ocean as they get larger.
Stupid crab question. Do they walk or swim?
Oddly, I've seen this. I witnessed this in the mouth of the Eel River many, many years ago, and it's quite a phenomena. These, the juvenile crabs that were there, and we'll pick them up, say, 3 to 4 inches across the back.
So about your palm?
So we're, or smaller than your palm even.
Okay.
But about your palm size. We're rowing up the slough. We're on our way to go waterfowl hunting, my buddy and I. We're about 15, and we're rowing. And, of course, when you're rowing, you can hear everything. And we hear this scraping on the boat, and then we hear this kind of clicking sound. And we reach over the side of the boat with a light and look, and we've got literally thousands of little juvenile Dungeness crab coming with the outgoing tide down the slough, and they'd been able to half swim with the current, and they're all over the top of the water moving. It was I'd never seen it before or since, but all these guys were
so that's why you got migrating. In the business of killing crabs.
Yeah, I said, gee, if there's that many there, even I could catch one.
Yeah, easy pickings. KINS News and Information Times 423. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family.
We live and we revere it, the Northwood spirit, Northwood Chevrolet.
And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:27. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, some of the different challenges that are out there, we talked a little bit about the crab season and whatnot. What about the regulatory climate? We had heard that if there was a recession, typically environmental law is relaxed to allow people to remain in business, to continue doing what it is, and then during flush times, when maybe you can better absorb the cost of regulation, it becomes a little bit more strident. Are you sensing that with any of the stuff, whether it's crabbing season or any of the fishery stuff that you're dealing with or any of the other environmentally related regulatory climate we have in California?
No. Even for our public works projects and some of the projects that I'm trying to carry forward, no. I mean, I guess I, in all fairness, should say we have some good people in those several those agencies that will help us. We have some friends in the on the Regional Water Quality Control Board and some good staff members. And the same thing applies to DFG and some of the other agencies. So they're partners and they help us. But as far as a standard, I'm worried about, you know, just use the some of the air quality restrictions that are coming at us, for one. I believe in them, and I think that we're going to have to deal with them, particularly given the evidence with climate change. But now isn't the time to tell the trucking industry. I mean, oil, 2 days ago, went up to $102.93 a barrel. So you know the prices are going to go up for transportation again. So don't implement the full standards for them to either retrofit, or they have to get rid of a pre-2006 trucking firm vehicle and move to a new one or go out of business. Same thing with...
And the going out of business is a viable or realistic issue. I've got a couple buddies, like I'm probably talking about some of the same.
Yeah.
We can't afford it.
Look at the contracts we've got with for a refuse collection with the local haulers. They've got to retrofit, come out with new equipment for all of the whether it's Recology or Humboldt Sanitation.
Now, the county have to retrofit your rigs?
Yes, all of
and
our
the
equipment.
State?
Well, I don't know about the state vehicles, but I do know that the county vehicles have all got to be either retrofit or replaced. So if you do that at a time when the economy's down and you look at, and I want to use the poor guys that are doing the pickup again for refuse, they've got to build into their contracts their equipment needs because of the mandates that are on them. If we had more time, it would be better for our constituents, for the ratepayers, if we could do it over a long period of time, particularly given we're in a recession. That's the kind of help we could use right now.
But you're not hearing any relief from the state or consideration even?
Not enough to really make the difference that I think we need to.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if somebody goes hose up because of that, if there's any culpability at the state level.
Yeah.
Lawsuits, I'm sure, will to be determined and announced.
Well, it goes back, mostly goes into the same thing with the utilities. It goes into the rate increases, those costs. And the bottom line is that the public pays for it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, as you look at the county and some of the different challenges that are out there, certainly the general plan, it's well documented. It's even getting to the point where some of us are beginning to understand it, that an element is a part of it. That one took me about 3 years.
Can you breathe?
But it's yeah. No. Beyond that, you don't want to know. When it gets to communities within the county that are not incorporated, the general plan takes precedent. So when you're talking to some of your Petrolia buddies, mm-hmm. or Blocksburg, or Lolita, this one mm-hmm. particular one, does the county reign supreme, or is there anything akin to local rule for those communities?
Yeah, actually, we talked about this just a couple days ago with Ferndale City Manager Jay Parrish, and then last night in Lolita, and we have talked about it in Petrolia, too. It's particularly, I think, relevant general plan issues like one I use as an example would be signage, would be open space, it would be telecommunications or communication systems. If you are Ferndale or if you are Lolita, you should be able to weigh in and say, here's what we'd like to see. Lolita Drive or Eel River Drive are the two primary access points, the corridors for getting into to our town, and with Ferndale it would be the same. They would have their planning commission, they would have their general plan for everything within the parameters of Ferndale.
Sphere of
but their sphere goes a lot farther than that, and
right.
they rightfully should be able to say, well, look, when you are doing these policies, and here's another really good example. We incorporated their need to look at the drainages in the Wildcat Mountains because of the impact it has on Ferndale. Hence some of the other projects we have to deal with sediment, to deal with water quality.
All the downstream stuff.
Yeah. And so I made a request some time ago to CDF and our staff that when they're reviewing land use changes in the mountains, as an example, Williams Creek, Francis Creek, that all of those should go over to the Ferndale Planning Commission so that they can do the referral to the council or city staff if there's anything they think could affect their lives and quality of life in Ferndale. So it is all really relevant, but what it takes is a lot of tracking. You have to maintain a good relationship with the people and the staff, whether it's in Ferndale or whether it's the Chamber of Commerce in Lolita or whether it's the people at the Grange in Petrolia or the fire districts. You better know the people who know what the key issues are so that you can keep them informed and they can be part of the process when you're...
Now, most of us would make the presumption that was in effect. If I am a public works guy in City X, that I would know not only who the peer would be at the county, but I would know their senior staff, my senior staff would know them, and everybody would be all linked together. So if I got a project in my city, boom, the county is aware of it. If the county gets a project that impacts my area at all, drainage, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Boom. I get an automatic email. There it is. Everybody's on the same wavelength. Kumbaya. You know, we get together once a quarter or whatever, and we share funny stories. Doesn't sound like that's the case, though.
I think it is a lot of times, but there are plenty of times when there may be an illness. There might be a maternity leave. There could be a change in staffing or administration in that department. And there'll be a slight glitch in that
one
glitch.
So it's not an automatic.
No. I don't think it is automatic in terms of document referrals when you do a clearinghouse notice or maybe an interagency. But for me, I'm uncomfortable if there's an issue that escapes me and I wasn't able to make sure that it got conveyed to the leadership in other areas of my district. And it happens to me, sometimes I'll be off on other projects and it can escape. But at least I can go back and apologize, pick up the pieces and try to make sure that we've accommodated the wishes, the needs, and rightfully the input of those communities that make
it. So you see it as an extraordinary, the glitch, rather than the routine?
Somewhere in between extraordinary and routine.
A little bit more often than what it ought to be.
Yeah, it's hard. There's a lot of things happening, but it is. But there are a lot of really great leadership groups in the special districts and the cities and towns here in Humboldt.
So with that as a backdrop, why do you get brought into some of these sticky situations that should be handled at department level? If the communication is there and if everybody is on the same wavelength.
Well, sometimes it's simply a matter of people want you to be there and they expect you to be in a leadership position so that you can hopefully provide advice or you can pull together the team members or the admin people that can provide the information they need to better educate themselves. And sometimes it is because there has been a glitch. Maybe a meeting got missed. Maybe a meeting wasn't well attended because the notification met the bare necessity.
72 in 1 minute?
Yeah, but it didn't actually get... And this happened last night. There was a lot of great posting went on about a community meeting, but there was some suggestions on how to make it even better, and the people just grabbed that great idea, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to fix that and make it a wider announcement to get more input on projects that could have a potential impact on their lifestyles.
Is there a single point in the county that emanates all the public meeting agendas?
No.
Each department do independent of each other?
Well, they do at times do independent, and a lot of it's related to their internal budgets. So they can look at where they can get the best price, for example, to have the public notice printed, and at the same time have a wide enough circulation that they're going to reach generally most of the public that's got access to news. So there's latitude within those budgets. I actually looked at that to see if we could come up with a better way.
So I may have an idea for you. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:43. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:46. Jimmy Smith has not run out of the studio. He's still here. Right?
Right.
All right.
I'm here.
With the environmental regulatory actions that continue to go and go and go and go, do you have any sense that there's a balance? Or are we going to continue to see this growth in all the regulatory and no balance?
Well, I think in some respects we're going to see more people who are innovative when it comes to how are we going to get the product we want. And in of great importance to me, working with this regional group across all these hydrologic basins, is how do we demonstrate to people that their money is going to good use. We get new infrastructure, so we improve water quality, and that means wastewater systems. We replace old septics. We bring in water from places where we've got ample amounts available, as compared to pulling it out of a creek where we don't have enough water for the fish or vegetation, whatever it might be. So what we need to do, this is my proposal, and it's worked, I think, really well with Fish and Game, and we want to take it to some of the federal agencies, is when we see a positive response, we get that agency to come out with some positive comments about we have helped these particular species in their recovery. And we think part of that is attributable to projects, either one, they were restoration oriented or water supply oriented, or management objectives that have been in place that maybe required more stringent standards. Look what's happened to timber harvest over the years. Look what's happened to gravel extraction. Those are construction standards, for example, too. They have been really scrutinized at the county level, at the state level. How we've been able to recognize that we've lost certain areas because our drainage systems were inferior and we blocked access to streams, tributaries, whatever. So when we fix those and there's demonstrated evidence that it supported the recovery, doesn't have to be a full recovery, then we as a team need to tell those people, you have been a participant and you have sacrificed. It's cost you more money to operate. It's cost you a lot to be engaging, bring this whole process on and participate in it. And we want to tell you, we're really proud that you've done a great job.
A slap in the back is great, or on the back, pardon me.
Yeah.
But is there any financial compensation for that? I mean, if a guy or a gal has landed on the line and now they have to throw more in,
yeah,
and it works, I would think that there ought to be some kind of a balancing thing for them just to be able to stay in business and operate at a narrower margin. That's not going to grow the business. That's not going to get any more employees.
Yeah.
That's not going to make them any more successful. And they might be better off just to shut her down and take those monies and do something else entirely different.
Well, I would hope that we do things like we give you a longer permit, or we make the parameters for your program easier to comply with, and you don't have to pay the fees to do all these reorganizations or
that would be more
detail.
Than fair, I would think, for a lot of those folks.
Yeah, that's my dream.
Okay, you progressing towards your dream?
Yeah.
Well, good.
I am.
Okay. Before the end of the year?
Yes.
All right.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So you still have a little power of signature.
That's right. We're a fully flighted waterfowl here.
Yeah, just watch out for your anchor. We've been Talking Shop with Jimmy Smith. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.